Picture a husband standing in his kitchen, face flushed, veins bulging, screaming at his wife over a forgotten errand. His heart hammers against his ribs. His blood pressure spikes dangerously. And somewhere deep inside, beneath the fury, sits a simple truth he can't access. He's terrified she doesn't care about him anymore. This scene plays out in millions of homes daily, a ritual so common we've normalized it. But what if anger isn't the inevitable human response we've been taught to accept? What if it's actually a choice, one that's quietly destroying our health, relationships, and happiness? We've inherited a collection of dangerous myths about anger, each one giving us permission to explode without consequence. The first myth claims anger is biochemically hardwired, that testosterone or adrenaline forces our hand. Yet groundbreaking research tells a different story. When scientists injected subjects with adrenaline, their emotional responses varied wildly based solely on social context and personal interpretation. Some felt euphoric, others anxious, still others angry. Same chemical, completely different emotions. The physiological arousal was identical, only their thoughts determined the outcome. The second myth insists humans are naturally aggressive, pointing to our evolutionary past as evidence. For decades, scientists believed early human fossils showing skull damage proved our ancestors were confirmed killers. Then researchers discovered the damage came from sediment pressure, not violence. Anthropologists now understand that early humans survived through cooperation within family groups, not through aggression. The most dangerous myth is that venting anger provides healthy release, that unexpressed rage builds like steam until it explodes. Research demolishes this hydraulic model. Studies consistently show people who vent don't feel better. They feel angrier. Their recipients become angry too, creating destructive cycles. The catharsis we seek through rage never arrives. Every time you rage at slow traffic or incompetent coworkers, your body launches a full emergency response. Your heart pounds harder, stress hormones flood your bloodstream, blood diverts from digestion toward muscles, all for threats that never materialize. This biochemical disaster decreases cholesterol clearance, promotes arterial deposits, suppresses immunity, and damages arterial walls. Studies tracking over 1,000 subjects found both suppressed and expressed anger significantly increase hypertension risk. The famous type A personality research revealed hostile individuals have twice the heart attack rate of calmer peers. Autopsies showed their arteries were significantly more clogged. Anger systematically destroys relationships. Each episode erodes trust, teaching people to handle you cautiously or avoid you entirely. The cycle self-perpetuates. Aggression breeds hostility, which breeds more aggression. Energy gets channeled into psychological defenses: numbness, constant judging, hair trigger irritability, preemptive attacks, withdrawal, revenge fantasies, creating minefields that prevent intimacy. The paradox: anger may initially influence behavior, but never works long-term. Targets develop resistance strategies: avoidance, discounting concerns, counter-blaming, derailing conversations, passive-aggressive sabotage. No matter how frightening your rage, it's never as scary to them as losing themselves. The root cause is often entitlement masquerading as justified anger. I should never feel pain, but if I do, you must fix it. Meanwhile, life's pleasures diminish. Studies show hostile people experience relationships as lower quality and less satisfying, hollow connections built on coercion rather than genuine care. Nearly half of chronically angry men in one study suffered terminated or damaged relationships within a single year. Anger isn't something that happens to you. It's something you do through a two-step process. Step one is stress. Something creates uncomfortable arousal, physical tension, painful emotions, frustrated desires, or perceived threats. Your nervous system activates, demanding you cope. Step two is where choice happens. Specific trigger thoughts convert stress into anger. Blamers, they deliberately hurt me, and shoulds, they broke the rules. both frame someone else as bad, wrong, and deserving punishment. Without these thoughts, stress remains just stress, uncomfortable but not hostile. Consider a mother whose teenager comes home past curfew. The stress is real: worry, disrupted sleep, activated fear. But anger only emerges if she thinks, "He deliberately disrespected me, blame her," or "Teenagers should always follow curfew, should." If instead she thinks, "He lost track of time," she might feel disappointed but not enraged. This reveals something revolutionary. Anger isn't inevitable. It's one response to pain dependent on thoughts that may be false. Anger serves one purpose: discharging uncomfortable arousal quickly while blocking awareness of vulnerability. When pain strikes, we instinctively ask, "Who did this to me?" This blame fuels chronic anger. Once you decide someone caused your distress, rage feels justified, even righteous. But this belief traps you in helpless fury. Personal responsibility rests on uncomfortable truths. Only you truly understand your needs. Others appropriately focus on their own needs. Needs inevitably conflict, and your satisfaction depends on your coping strategies, not others' behavior. Consider Irene, perpetually furious at her chronically late friend. Taking responsibility means recognizing her choices. Meet at her friend's house, suggest activities where timing doesn't matter, or adjust expectations. Arthur resents his workaholic wife, but could develop other social connections. Marty feels abandoned by his busy friend, but could express his feelings directly. When unhappy with someone's behavior, you have six responsible options beyond anger: develop better reinforcement strategies, take care of the need yourself, develop alternative sources of support, set clear limits, negotiate assertively, or let go, either accepting unchangeable situations or removing yourself from toxic relationships. This isn't about blame, it's about power. Anger keeps you helpless, waiting for others to change. Responsibility gives you options. Coping mantras interrupt anger patterns. "I am responsible for what happens between us." No point in blaming. Try a new strategy. What can I do about this? Breaking free begins with a manageable commitment: 24 hours of calm behavior regardless of provocation. No raised voice, aggressive driving, physical threats, or verbal attacks. Post your goals where you'll see them. When anger rises, stop. Don't speak or act immediately. Watch the emotion like a wave. It rises, peaks, and falls if you don't feed it. Notice your self-talk. Phrases like "this isn't fair" intensify anger. Replace them with "I can do something different." Act opposite to angry feelings. Smile instead of glaring. Relax your muscles. Lower your voice. Create physical space. Long-term freedom requires combating trigger thoughts. We judge others based on personal rules about how people should behave. When others violate these shoulds, we perceive deliberate wrongdoing, but others rarely share our rules. Common fallacies fuel anger: entitlement, wanting equals deserving, fairness, rigid rules for complex relationships, change, pressure controls others, and conditional assumptions: if you loved me, you'd. Aaron Beck's three-column technique helps. Column A records angry thoughts. Column B identifies the cognitive error. Column C rewrites the thought without distortion. When refuting trigger thoughts, be specific rather than global. Avoid judgment, and remember people do their best given their awareness. Stress reduction completes the toolkit. Exercise releases natural tranquilizers. Proper breathing counteracts stress physiologically, and progressive muscle relaxation reduces tension. Anger offers powerful protection: empowerment, energy, blocked inhibitions, and conviction of rightness. These properties help us respond to threats, but also make anger a potent defense against emotions we're not ready to face. A husband deflects guilt about neglecting his children by attacking his wife's parenting. Sheila masks grief over losing her friend to marriage by attacking her friend's choices. In each case, anger feels easier than confronting fear, hurt, guilt, or emptiness. Like all addictions, it offers immediate relief but damages health and relationships while diverting us from addressing actual feelings. To break free, identify which emotions your anger masks. For guilt, examine the rigid rules you violated. Are they realistic and life-affirming? For grief, use the mantra, "They are gone. I am angry, so I won't feel the loss," and set aside time daily to mourn. For hurt, acknowledge it openly without blame. For helplessness, take responsibility, generate new coping options, then act. For emptiness, experience loneliness in brief periods without blaming others, then explore deeper feelings or take direct action to create intimacy. In a culture that glorifies rage as strength, choosing to abandon chronic anger is radical. It means acknowledging that the emotion we've been taught signals power actually signals helplessness. Real strength lies in facing vulnerability without the armor of rage. Your anger isn't protecting you, it's imprisoning you. The key has been in your hand all along. Choice.